Blog Talk Radio. Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world. The Ring of Stone Network will change the world.
Good evening, Fountain, and I'm Brother Yusiku, and I want to welcome you to the Ringing Stone Network. Hey, Brother Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm wonderful, and I appreciate you coming back. You know, you're one of my own personal saviors. So, family, very short story. I tout Joe as one of the top foreclosure specialists with helping us to keep our homes in the United States. I first became familiar with Joe on the This, That, and the Other. And that was a Sister Rudy, a valiant Sister Rudy that was trying to help people and probably still is helping people keep and stay in their homes, which is it's a hell of a battle, family. It's a hell of a battle. But I thought that or every opportunity that I could have to bring Joe back to the network to update us, to reinforce us, then it's always a pleasure that he gives us his time. And it's a very, very valuable time because people are still losing their homes, like I did the advertisement this time, that people are still losing their homes at the rate of 2008 when, you know, supposedly that president came into office. Nothing against him. You know, he's just a part of a system. But the thing is that, you know, Joe and some others have been out there fighting, learning, doing a lot of studying, and family, if you don't know how much studying they do to save us from having to do that studying, you know, we just have to give them a lot of energy and a lot of applause for being able to do that and then coming to share. Because, I mean, he's basically donating his time to us, you know, so I appreciate that, too. So, Brother Joe, what's new? And welcome to the Ringing Stone Network once again. And, you know, you can take it away and give us what you can, because I know your time is real valuable and short this time.
Well, I thank you so much. I feel blessed to be able to get out and share the message. What many people do not understand is that you lose, as Michael Jordan says, 1,000% of all the shots that you do not take. So if you sit on the sidelines of this foreclosure fight and do nothing, I guarantee you that you will lose. If you do not stand up and make an attempt, regardless of what your knowledge base is, all right, it's the act of standing up to society and saying, I will not conform. I am not one of the sheeple. Okay, I am my own person, and this is what I believe. I have been wronged, and that is what you must do today. It's not about anything else other than standing up and claiming your rights, because everything that we articulate is all about rights. When you go to court, it's all about, have they acquired the right to foreclose? And in 99.9% of the time, no, they have not acquired the rights. But you as a sheeple believe, because that's what you have been taught. So my role is to show you that you are not to conform to the people that are just jumping off the cliff. You are to be the little mouse that is flipping off the eagle that is coming down to attack you. Because he doesn't know that behind your back you have a bat that you're going to smash him in the head with. Because, as Dr. Martin Luther King has said, you know, we must stand and fight together in this battle. This is not about one. This is about all of us standing together in a fight against the others. And in this foreclosure war that we are fighting, It is a fight. And if you do not fight, they will roll over you. So the question is, how bad do you want this? You need to want this with every ounce that is in your body and in your soul. If you don't want this as bad as I want this, you're not going to get anything out of this. Am I not right, brother? So, for Joe, I am in this fight from the start to the beginning. The fight starts with a chain of title analysis. A chain of title analysis shows what was to be done, what was done, and what was not done in accordance to statutory requirements of law. It's plain and simple. What was to be done? What was done and what was not done? Those facts are recorded into public record. So when we look at a chain of title analysis, I look at, does the chain of title analysis match the tangible documents? And very seldom have I seen them match. So with that, I'm ready to start the evening. So we can go directly to the flow charts or however you would like to go. Tonight, I am ready to go.
Well, I'm hosting, so I want to go directly to the flow chart so they understand from the moment they sat down to the actual getting to court, what should have took place, what didn't took place, and where they could stand and where they have a right to protest or fight about the fraud or dolus, you know.
Well, the fraud is, what people need to understand is, in 99.9% of all of the documentation that I have seen, fraud is everywhere. But again, they tie a blindfold over your eyes and they tell you what they want you to believe. What is in public record is just a bunch of breadcrumbs as to the actual transactions that were to take place. If you look at what was to take place and what did take place and what was supposed to take place, you would have questions and you would say, Joe, those charts do not reflect the true transactions. And I would agree with you. The transactions that were to take from the borrower to the originator, to the sponsor, to the seller, to the depositor, to the trustee, while that is dictated within the pooling and servicing agreement, if you're with an RMBS, which is a residential mortgage-backed security, all right, which is also a RMIC, which is a residential mortgage conduit, pass-through conduit. What they say is to happen, what actually happens, are two different things. And when you go to court, everyone tries to brush around what was to happen. And all they tell you is, we have a copy of a note. We have an assignment. And that's it. But all of the transactions that were to take place in between, all of the intervening assignments, all of the intervening endorsements, they never come to light. So when you're looking at all of this, you should question all of it, every single bit of it. And that's what very few people do. So when I'm looking at a chain of title analysis, I'm looking at all of the documents. I'm looking at the documents that are filed with the SEC, the Security Exchange Commission. I'm looking at the documents. What did they say were to happen? What is the closing date? You know, what is the date that all of these transactions were to take place? Because if I'm looking at an RMBS and I'm looking at, you know, transactions that were to take place, there's many parties that are named within the pooling and servicing agreement that are not named to the note. They're not named to public record. So when I look at within the pooling and servicing agreement, it says there's supposed to be a sponsor and seller. There's to be a depositor. There's to be a trustee. Then there is to be a trust. And all you see in public record is an assignment from MERS to a trustee. And it wiped out all of the intervening assignments. Well, it's those intervening assignments that were to take place that never did. And they're looking at the homeowner as being one of the sheeple. They'll never understand. We're going to do an assignment. We're going to post it in public record. Because public record gives constructive notice to the world as to transactions that were to take place, all right, pertaining to the sale and the acquirement of rights. But what they do not tell you is that the filing of that assignment of mortgage or of deed of trust into public record does not cause that sale and the acquiring of rights. In order for that sale to take place, that must have been done pursuant to statutory requirements of law and pursuant to negotiation, transfer, and delivery as a negotiable instrument, as well as the transfer of the beneficial interest of the security instrument. That doesn't happen. All they show you is a transfer of the security instrument, which is personal property, not real property. And I say, oh, here we go. We did an assignment. That assignment did nothing. That assignment did not cause the sale of the instrument being a negotiable note. It did not cause the sale pursuant to transfer negotiation, transfer delivery. So while they're attempting to show the courts that they did something correct, they did nothing. If you look at the transaction that they claim to have taken place, and you actually read the statutes, they do not match. So on our flow charts that we use, and we ended up with about 35 of them, and it took me about 5 or 6 months to do when we started in 2012. We did them for RMBSs, we did them for GSEs. A GSE would be a government-sponsored enterprise, such as Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or Ginnie Mae. But, again, what the parties that are foreclosing claiming to have taken place and what has taken place are two different routes. So what I wish to explain to you tonight is that you need to question everything and everyone. Do not take for granted when you get a summons or a complaint that they're coming to foreclose because they've acquired rights. They're claiming to be Pete, person entitled to enforce. Because Pete, all right, is just Pete. They're claiming to be a holder of a owner of the note. Well, the UPS guy or the FedEx guy could be a holder of the note if he held it at that moment in time. So being a holder of the note for the owner of the note is irrelevant. The question is, have you acquired rights to the negotiable instrument? There's only one statute in which one can acquire rights, period, to a negotiable instrument. And that falls under UCC 3203. Now, depending on what your state that you're in, if you're in Maryland, if you're in Connecticut, if you're in New York, all right, you will use the appropriate statute for that state. Now, for New York, you will use 3202 versus 3203 because you're using a 1961 codified version of the Uniform Commercial Code. All the other 49 states use 3203. All right? So depending on where you're at, A defines what is to be done, B, C, and D place restrictions on how it is to be done. Or it would be 1, and then 2, 3, and 4, depending on the state. But that is the only statute in which one can acquire rights. So the problem that we're having for foreclosure is that these parties have not acquired rights. Yes, you have a copy of a document that purports to be a copy of a note. Yes, you have an assignment of a document that purports to be an assignment of mortgage. But when you start breaking down through an analysis of a chain of title as to what did happen, what did not happen, what was supposed to happen, you look at all of the things in the middle. Look at all of the minutia. They claim that they did an assignment. Okay, you did an assignment. What was the effect of that assignment? Was that assignment eligible to be recorded, yes or no? If that assignment was not eligible to be recorded, then pursuant to statutory requirements of law, that the recording of the assignment did nothing. They could have also violated 18 U.S.C. Chapter 47, 1021, all right, which is a felony. And this is what many people are not looking at. They're just looking at the big, overbroad picture. Oh, my God, they're foreclosed on me. What do I do? Look at the statutes. What was to be done? What was done? What was not done? Look at the documents that you signed. Do you actually understand the documents that you signed? When you're looking at a mortgage and you're looking at Covenant 16, when you're looking at Covenant 20, when you're looking at Covenant 23, all right? And I'm just using a basic, uniform, Freddie Fannie security instrument. Covenant 16 is going to statutory law. Covenant 20 is going to pursuant to selling the beneficial interest of the note. Covenant 23. Going to the release clause. Did they follow these covenants? Yes or no? It's not a hard question. You don't want to hear a long, drawn-out explanation. Did they do what they were supposed to do in accordance with law? Because if you and I are on that chair and we're being asked a question, we're only allowed to answer yes or no. So this is where you must turn the tables and you ask them the same question. Did you do what was required pursuant to statutory requirements of law? Yes or no? You don't need to hear an explanation. It's a very simple question and requires only a yes or no answer. And the answer is going to be no. They did not follow the law. So knowing that they did not follow the law, that's how you attack them. You don't need to go into robo-signing or anything else. Okay, what were they supposed to do? What did they do? What did they not do? That's the way I use the chain of title analysis. And just break it down to just complete, concise information. So when I do a chain title analysis and I back it up with an affidavit of fact, all right, my affidavit of fact is an affidavit of fact. And if anyone has been following me for the last couple of years, you'll notice that I have changed my affidavit from being 26 pages down to about 6 pages. Today, I do an analysis, which may be anywhere between 25 and 30 pages. But my analysis is between 5 and 7 pages because the analysis states strictly facts. And the facts back up the analysis. I've looked at a note. Here's what it says. I've looked at a mortgage. Here's what it says. I've looked at public record. Here's what it says. So I'm not making any hearsay claims. I'm not making any conclusionary opinions. I'm just stating facts. So when I go into court and I stand in front of that judge, I had the opposing counsel just grilling me like a hot dog, okay? I can answer truthfully and honestly, this is what I saw, this is what I looked at. And that's all the judge cares about. We are not going to win any of these fights through an administrative process. We are going to win these fights through a judicial process according to their rules. But the difference is we know what their rules are. We know what the arguments are. That's what we did not know before. So today, when I stand on that iceberg, all right, before I stood at the iceberg and I stood on the top and I said, oh, I can see all the way across the sea. I did not know that 90% of the iceberg was below the ice. Today, I know 90% of the iceberg is below the ice. So I know what I cannot see. And that's the difference today. So today, understanding what a chain of title of analysis is, understanding how to use the charts, that is everything today. So, Isiku, if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them for you. Sorry for the rambling on. You got me going tonight.
No, it's cool because you're teaching, and that's what we need to teach. I want to go back to what's your one and two covenant that servicers break, and is there one and two that are high on the list that they normally break, and
yes.
It's something we'll look
yes.
for?
Sure. Go to Covenant 20. Covenant 20 states, this loan may be sold together with the security instrument. All right? Now, if you look at Covenant 20, Covenant 20 says the loan, all right, may be sold or a security interest. Here, let me pull one up. Give me one second. Let's see. I'll read you what one says, because I'm just going off the top of my head right now. Okay. Let's go to and I'll read you what it actually says in there. Okay, let's go to deed of trust. Okay, so I'm going to read you from a deed of trust that is from the state of Nevada. And it just so happens to be mine. Okay, so it says, Covenant 20, sale of note, change of loan servicer, notice of grievance. The note or a partial interest in the note, together with the security instrument, can be sold one more time without prior notice to borrower. All right. When you look at that, it says the note or a partial interest in the note together, in parentheses, with the security instrument. That is a legal impossibility because they are stipulating the note or, which is ambiguous. You don't know what is being sold. They're stating that a partial interest in the note, which is the obligation, which is your promise to pay, may be sold together with the security instrument. That cannot happen. Yes, you can sell the promise to pay, which is the financial transactions pertaining to the payment stream of the note. But your security instrument, which is an alternate means of collection, cannot follow that. Your security instrument, whether it is a mortgage or a deed of trust, is simply an alternate means of collection. That's it. If you look under 9.102, you will see that that Article 9 does not apply to your security instrument. If that security instrument was to be secured, it should have gone with a UCC-1 filing, which would have been for personal property. That never happened. So when you look at Covenant 20, where they state sale of note, all right, the notary partial interest in the note together with the security instrument, all right, they were fooling you. That is fraud in the inducement. The borrower, through a consciousness of innocence, had no idea what he was signing. They're telling you that they're going to sell a partial interest of this note, even though it's not legal. You can't do that. Yes, you can sell the interest of the note, but no, the security instrument will not follow it. If you have a strip shopping mall, all right, and you've got 10 stores in the strip shopping mall, and you've got 9 of these you have tenants in, all right? You have 9 leases, and you're behind in your bills, and you don't know what to do, and suddenly one night you have an epiphany, and you're like, oh, my God, I can sell these leases. UCCO, you can sell those leases, and it's legal, and you still own the building. Okay, so for the note, they sell the obligation. They sell the right to receive payments to the note, but the note was never sold. The note was never transferred. The note was never delivered. And then 10 years later, they decide to do an assignment for the personal property that is to be attached to the note that evidences the obligation. It's just a sham. But too many people have blinders on and they do not understand this. They do not understand that they breached the fiduciary requirement pertaining to the negotiable instrument. What they said was to happen never happened. They lead you to believe that it is a secured claim. It's not a properly secured claim in accordance with statutory requirements of law. If you look at your document being a security instrument, the only purpose of that document is to be an alternate means of collection for personal property, not real property. So it doesn't fall under Article 9. So if it doesn't fall under Article 9, it's going to fall under personal property pertaining to UCC-1 filing, Secretary of State. Now, I'll bet you if any of your clients out there, any of the members out there, were to do a UCC-1 filing search, you're not going to find a secured creditor pertaining to the personal property being your security instrument, being the mortgagor of the note or the mortgagor of the deed of trust. And if you want to get an idea what a UCC-1 filing is, let's say that you work in an auto body shop and you buy tools, all right? You can own $70,000-$80,000 worth of tools from Snap-on. Snap-on will file a UCC-1 filing pertaining to the personal property for those tools with the Secretary of State. This way, if you don't make your payments, there is a record that they're the secure party of record. That is never done for your mortgage, which pertains to personal property, not real property, for your security instrument. But again, people only know what they know. If you knew what you did not know, you would not be on this call tonight. So I'm glad you are on the call tonight. And my whole purpose is to educate you to the best of my ability, to bring you up to speed. Does that make sense? Okay, so, Derek, have you got any questions that I can answer?
Yeah, let me try to retranslate that then and break it down a little layman. What you're saying is that when you sign that promissory note, the promise to pay, they're supposed to file a UCC-1, file a UCC-1 and check the non-UCC filing at that time, and expecting that if you default, then the UCC-1 is what they use. A perfected UCC-1 is what they use to claim the foreclosure, the default on foreclosure. Is that what we're saying?
And what so, I'm saying is that, all right, so while they file into, originally they file into public record giving constructive notice to the world, okay? They do that and they do create a proper encumbrance upon the property. But now when they sell that, all right, from party A to party B, it doesn't matter if it's Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse that they sell to, okay? What they are selling is a personal property item, all right? That deed of trust is personal property. It's not real property. Pursuant to 15 U.S.C. Chapter 47, 1021, okay? They can't just do it electronically. It must be in writing. So if they sold this, did they file this personal property with the Secretary of State? No. Look at your release covenant in covenant 23 of your mortgage. If you look at that, it will blow your mind as to what it says. It's going to say release. Upon payment of sums secured by this security instrument, lender shall release the security instrument and reconvey the property back to the proper parties. So, if they did an assignment into public record, if the purpose of an assignment is to memorialize transactions pertaining to the sale of the negotiable instrument and the acquiring of rights, did not they get paid for the note upon payment for sums secured? Yes, they got paid. Did they do what was required of them pursuant to the contract, being either the mortgage or the deed of trust? No, they did not. The problem is none of us follow up with that. Does that make sense?
Definitely, yes, it does. The reason why I ask is it's just a coincidence. You know, I took what you taught me, mixed it with the Fair Debt Collection Act, and I filed a lien, a UCC-1.
Right.
And they went away. And now you're telling me they were supposed to do it. No wonder they went away. What I got to do is I got to get a book on the covenant. You know, and that's the part I've listened to you and Rudy 8 times, no exaggeration. And I still miss the covenants. I got, you know, first of all, family, the covenants aren't law, but we need a book on them to understand them. And that's what Brother
right.
Joe is saying. So we understand that they make these things up and make you think it's law so that you don't look at the fraud in the covenant. And what
exactly.
Joe did is looked at, okay, go ahead. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
You're stating it correctly. So here's what I tell everyone that is on call tonight. Pull out your mortgage. Pull out your deed trust. It may stipulate a little different than what I am saying to you, depending on what state you're in. All right? But if you're looking at a mortgage that states covenant 23 release, upon payment of all sums secured by this lender, the lender shall release. It's as clear as the nose on my face. I'm not making this up. So, if this is what the covenant says, did you abide by it? Yes or no? Don't let them give you any BS into long, lengthy explanations. It's a yes or no question with a yes or no answer. Is this what it says? Yes or no? Did you do what it said? Yes or no? I don't want to hear, well, I thought, or this is what it means. Did you do what it said? No. When they get us on the stand, Derek, trust me, when I am on the stand, they do not allow me to make any large informal answers. It's Mr. Esquivel, what did you see? Mr. Esquivel, did you see this? Mr. Esquivel, did you see this? So what I say to everyone out there is use the same information against them. Does this contract say this? Yes or no? Do not allow them to go into an unambiguous answer. Why are you going to allow them to answer as to this is what it was supposed to mean? Look at covenant 23. What does it say? Upon payment of sum secured. Well, the purpose of an assignment of mortgage is to memorialize transactions pertaining to the sale of the note. You sold the note. I don't care who you sold it to, whether it was Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. It doesn't matter. Did you sell it? If you sold it, did you release the contract? No. Why not? It didn't say that I had to make the payment. Did you get paid? You got paid from someone. That is what the assignment shows. The assignment shows, all right, that someone received consideration. If you received consideration, then you got paid. So if you got paid, you should have released the contract and recontracted. All right? They never did
okay,
that.
So,
they never recontracted. So,
okay, let me break this down for your family. I think what you're saying, Joe, is the contract is between me and Joe. Now, if Joe goes sell the security instrument to an investor, then that releases HooSequel. Is that what you're saying? Or they have to recontract with HooSequel?
Exactly.
Wow,
yes.
That's powerful. And, and family, that's covenant 23. You know what I'm saying? That's covenant 23. So basically, then y'all, once they sell to an investor, like when they sell that promissory note to Sallie Mae and Fannie Mae, HooSequel is released. Derek no longer has a contract unless Derek comes back and say, no, I won the contract with Fannie Mae and Sallie Mae, right?
Thank you. HooSequel.
So,
you got
so, yeah.
100%. That's it.
You gave me an moment. Oh, you gave me an moment. I was like, ooh, that's powerful. Thank you. I appreciate, you know. And I'm going to go back because I know you said it in that show with Rudy. You know how, like, you read a book and then you learn and you grow. Then you read a book and you're like, I didn't see that time, you know. So I'm having one of those moments. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm like, I'm breaking it down because your last show, it was a beautiful show. But sometimes we have to bring it down to, like, where the goat can get it, you know. And that's all I'm re-narrating and then getting it myself because that's vital with what, you know, because I just wore out your, you don't have the intangible pay order in my lien in the financial statement. I just wore that out. I was like, well, Joe taught me this. And I'm like, look, if you don't have an intangible pay order with a CUSIC number, you can't talk to me. So that violates the UCC code 1-306, which is their obligation to good faith, which is basically saying fraud if you don't have an obligation to good faith. But that's another story. Go ahead and Bill. I'm sorry about that. I'm running my mouth too much. Peace.
No, you're doing good. You're doing awesome. Just keep on going. If people understand what the documents say and what they don't say, that's half the battle. When we look at the documents, you need to question everything. Just because there is an assignment, the assignment is to match the actual tangible note. Does it match the note? All right? If it doesn't match the note, question it. If they did not do what they said they were going to do, all right, question it. Question everything. So for those that are on the call, you know, look at how your spouse looks at you. Everything you do, your spouse questions. Why? Because that is the role. Do not take anything for granted. Question everything. So, pursuant to the Covenant 23, where it says reconveyance, if you're in a deed of trust state, or if it says release, if you're in a mortgage state, look at what was to be done. Look at what was done. Look at what was not done. Question everything. The chain of title analysis lays the foundation for any actions going forward. That's what many people forget. The whole purpose of an analysis is to lay a foundation. If you don't have a strong foundation, you don't know how to rebuttal the questions, all right, with the proper answers. I can't answer anything unless I do an analysis on it, period. Regardless if the actions that I take seem different from the analysis sets the tonality. It's like President, Clinton said, when they were questioning him before Congress as to his role and involvement into what was going on. And all he said was, depending on your definition of the word is, will depend upon the definition of how you want to take my answer. So however complex or however simple we want to make this, it's up to you. But I tell everyone that is on the call tonight, do not be a sheeple. Do not go to the cliff and just follow everybody's action. Stand up and rise against society. Be the one that says, you know what? I'm not going to take this. I have questions. I don't have the answers. I want the answers. And until I get the answers that I want, I'm going to continue to question. And when you do that, it will strive you to be a better person than whom you are today. I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of unanswered questions. But I've got a lot of answer questions based on my questions that I've asked. And that's the difference today. And that's what a chain of title of analysis gives you. It gives you a better understanding of what was to take place, what did take place, and what did not take place pursuant to statutory requirements of law. So with that, I'll take any questions anybody has.
Okay, I think I have one question. Brother Mike, you still have your question? I think Brother Mike had a question.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah. We're good.
Okay, great. Would that be similar to, like, assuming the loan? What you guys was talking about a little bit earlier about... if you had the loan and Usiku, you sold it to Usiku and Usiku buy it from you, then he's out. Wouldn't that be like assuming the loan?
When you assume the loan, you are taking the responsibilities of the party that had the loan. So you are subject to the same stipulations, the same, how do I put it? Whatever they were held to, you were going to be held to the same standards.
Because reason I ask, because a lot of these places, if not all of them, don't do that anymore. You can't assume the loan, because you can't sell it to someone else. And then they have to they don't do that as far as I understand, you know.
Correct. Right. It's hard to assume loans nowadays. I mean, you could do that 10 years ago, but today it is very hard to assume a loan. The only way that you would do it, again, you'd have to have the, you would have to have the verbiage reflected within the instrument of the note itself. Does that make sense?
He's with us, Brother Joe. I think, you know, he's coming around the mountain, you know, because he drives a truck.
All right.
He comes around the mountain. So his line just broke. And I think another question to that, and may I add, in my rookie state, is when you, if the loan, the loan would have had to be securitized for, a mortgage would have had to be securitized for that covenant 23 to actually take place, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And correct. So that's it. 100%.
The difference between assuming the loan and the covenant is different, because the covenant is like that small print that they put in that they don't like, but they put in anyway, you know. And what Brother Joe is saying is always look at that small print, because it's kind of like our Constitution. There's things that's written in our Constitution. They just don't let us get at it anymore in the lower court. And that's basically kind of the same thing they're doing with the foreclosure thing. That's why we keep bringing it back. I got a question, since I personally have you, Joe. I wrote down this question: what makes an assignment eligible to be recorded? And if you have a little more time, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
All right, that's real simple. Do the endorsement match the assignments? That's it. If the endorsements on the notes match the assignments, yes, that assignment is eligible to be recorded. If the endorsements on the note do not match the assignment, no, it is not eligible to be recorded pursuant to statutory requirements of law. That's it.
So when you go in there and get a copy, okay, go ahead. Let me be quiet.
All right. No, that's fine. So, yes, you have a copy of the note, and you say, wait a minute, there's no endorsements on this note. But yet there's two assignments in public record. Why don't the assignments match the note? If the purpose of the assignment is to memorialize transactions pertaining to the sale of the note and the acquiring of rights, they should match. They don't. Something is wrong. It's that simple.
Do you know how many of my friends have been in foreclosure or went to get their assignment, and they're the only person that has ever signed it? The bank never signed. You know what I'm saying? And basically,
yes,
he's saying is, if you're the only one that signed it, they could not record it. That's what we're saying, right? Insured.
Yes.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brought
I
all
know
over
that.
The place.
I mean,
wow. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Go ahead, Bill. I'm just saying, you opened my eyes again tonight.
No.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
I mean, people, the biggest problem that we're having is that, Derek, we have too many people that are sheeple, okay? Too many people that are afraid of the man, are afraid of questioning the government, afraid of questioning society. And I say, screw society, you know? If you can't stand up for whom you are, then you're nobody. Look at Dr. Martin Luther King. If he did not stand up and do what he did, we would not be where we are today. And that's right across the board. So if you're going to just roll over and let the fat lady sing, okay? You deserve everything that's going to happen to you, and I'm sorry. But you need to stand up, in my opinion, and be counted. And you need to say, I will not subject myself to these wrongdoings. You know, I am required to get due process of law. I want my day in court. I want to know what was to happen, what did happen, what did not happen pursuant to statutory requirements of law. And until you stand up and want to be counted, that does not happen. Because they are counting on you not standing up. They are counting on you just cowering beneath everyone else. And yeah, they're going to take headshots at us. You know that, Derek. They're going to kick us in the nuts, all right? They're going to hit us from behind. And that's to be expected. And we need to remain ever vigilant and to stand up and say, I will not go down lightly. I'm going to go down fighting. These are my rights. You violated my rights.
And I agree with you. I just want to add one more thing. And I'm not saying you're wrong, because I'm not going to banter with my guests. I just want to add one thing and see if you agree. They did such a good job brainwashing the people before they brought this down. You know, you got to fight that in the person to get them to see. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They have fear. They, I mean,
oh,
that propaganda. You know, I had the Ohio case, and I was telling people in 2008, take this Ohio case. This one guy gave me the whole FBI fraud package. You know what I mean? So not only that, but it's shows like this. And what you? I'll shut up. Go ahead. Will you build on it? Because they got his brain wrong.
Believe me. I agree with you because I am one of the people. I am not an inhabitant. Okay? So you know where I am going with that. So I am one of the people. And unless you are one of the people, all right, they will walk all over you, period. Read the Declaration of Independence. Read the Constitution. Understand what is being said. If we don't stand up and fight, you will lose, period. I choose to fight. And that's it. How you want to do it is up to you. But I'm there for anyone that wants to stand up. And I know, Derek, that you're there too.
That's part of the network. Even to take it further, family, just standing up is a stand-up of the whole 360-degree kaleidoscope. You know, Joe is our specialist for one area. But we got to stand up in every area because they're trying to, you know, I ain't going to go into that. But, you know, there's certain changes we will not have if we don't continue to stand up to maintain, you know, this, of what we believe is the status quo where we have our individual rights. And part of that is helping to ensure that they just don't control everything in the trust. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, Brother Joe, but... You know, there's other things that there's other liberties that they're taking away. Like, you know, a friend called me
I'm there.
In California. They talk about you there. Okay, I rest my case.
Oh, I am. I mean, yeah, you can go into the Paris Treaty. You know, the Paris Treaty Act, and believe me, brother, I am there. You know, I've already done my political declaration. I'm not going to get into it. That's just between me and you know certain entities out there. But unless you claim. All right, the rights, all right, of which you want, you're not going to acquire them. You know, just because it's stated that you have these rights, unless you claim those rights, you do not get them, brother, do you? I mean, I don't know. United we stand, divided we fall, and I believe that wholeheartedly.
I agree with you wholeheartedly too. I believe it, and I believe we're at a point from the stars to the universe to down on Mother Earth that if we don't collectively come together and implement and maintain our change, you know, we're going to lose. Period. If there's a possibility of losing, but yeah, it's the time for all that can stand to stand up. All that should be educated, be educated so you understand what you're standing up for. Like tonight, I got to go read and study the covenant, you know. I don't have a home, but I learned it from my friends. I got friends that have homes, and so I learned. You know, I did that UCC one lien, and believe me, Joe, I gave it to my friend in Toledo. They have foreclosed on her. They called her and badgering her for you still owe the $43,000, right? They didn't take the title out of her name and then send her the 1099. Then they won 43. She did that UCC one lien and we added property for the servicer. She can't even talk to them no more. They don't even consider her. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't file nothing in her credit report. You know what I'm saying? They was like, what? What do you mean an intangible CUSIP number because you're not the security party creditor? Them people was like, no way. You know, I just sent mine because of UCC code 1-305. It states that to get to a lien, a UCC can be discharged in part or in full for your claim based on authentication. So I just sent my UCC 1 to the Secretary of State for authentication. You see what I mean? And then I'm going to send it back to that conference. You know, it's like, here it is. Here it is. Here's your violation. You know, like that. But they've gone away. Even the number that I used to call them on, they disconnected. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what? And so, you know, they was like, you know what I'm saying? And like, what I do is I'll email you my financial statement. I'll email you my financial statement. You can go over it and look. But yeah, but most of it, you'll hear yourself talking. You'll be like, I hear myself talking because it's basically, you know, I just used the Rudy Show with a little bit of, you know, Title 15, 1692, you know, like that. What is the creditor? You're not a creditor, stuff like that. And so I know your time is busy, you know, and I appreciate it.
I'm going to have to go, like I said, but I will share this with you. The UCC-1 financing statement is for personal property, and your security instrument does not fall under Article 9 because it is personal property. So if it is not registered with the Secretary of State, all right, it's not personal property. It's an unsecured claim. Period. So, with that, I'm going to let everyone go. It's a little after 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I've got a few things I need to do because I'm running behind. But I wish everyone the best. If anyone has any questions, please email Derek, and Derek will get the emails to me, and I will gladly answer any questions anyone has.
Okay, well, Joe, we appreciate you. You know, I appreciate the time you gave us because it's invaluable. You know, even if it's me that ends up helping some of the people that call. So I definitely appreciate you coming on the Ring and Soul Network again. And if you get a chance that you want to come back on and update us, you know, just
call. I'll gladly come back on.
We'll make room for you.
Not a problem.
Yeah. You know.
So.
And I'm going to go try and family. We got to go find the covenant. Okay, thanks, Brother Joe. I appreciate you. And family,
all right, you guys have
Brother
a blessed
Joe,
evening. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
And family, just one more reminder. Tomorrow we're going to have our first, if Ancestor Women, we're going to have our first kiss night tomorrow at 9 p.m. We have so far lined up 5 griots that's going to be storytelling. You can sit down with your family, eat some pizza, or maybe eat an African dish and enjoy the griots telling our story. A peace and love, family.
from hand in hand. Have I lived to see the milk and honey land? Where hate the dream and love forever stand? Or is this a vision in my mind? The laws never pass, but somehow all men feel they're truly free at last. Have we really gone this far, this space and time? Or is this a vision in my mind? Make believe, I know the leaves are green. They only turn to brown when autumn comes around. I know just what I say. Today is not yesterday, and all things have an end. I'd like to know, is good a place like this exists so beautiful? Do we have to find our wings